If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. Well, the day is almost upon us. In fact, as the day ends here, in a couple hours, it will be the eve of Christmas, and the church gathers to begin the pre-celebration of the celebration. This kind of picture that we have in our mind of Christ coming by night, where these shepherds are first out in their fields, and they're doing what shepherds do, and then their shepherdly duties are interrupted by the greatest birth to take place. It has been planned from before the foundation of the world. It has been announced for the last 9 months, at least, to the Virgin. She knows what child she carries. And then on this night, well, how profound are the words to say, the Savior of the world is born? And those are the words that the angels say and that the shepherds hear. And then the shepherds, as our hymn will to remind us, keep the angel's word and go to worship the newborn king. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Christmas Eve. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to study the Christmas hymn where shepherds lately knelt in the first hour with Pastor Will Whedon right here in the studio. And in the second hour, we'll talk to Dr. Paul Meyer about the first Christmas. Pastor Will Whedon is a regular guest. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks, Todd. A joy to be with you on this Christmas Eve.
This is a relatively new Christmas hymn. It's only about 20 years old, which makes it new in the church's way of counting things old and new. Very new, in fact. We've got reams of Christmas music. We have Christmas hymns that probably cover every aspect of this, someone might say. I like the old ones. We don't need any new ones. Besides, a new one could never gain a foothold on the crowded ground that is Christmas music. What are your thoughts there?
I think it's one of the greatest miracles of the incarnation, that it continues to inspire poetry. It continues to inspire song. It inspires it like no other event in our Lord's life. Not even his resurrection has produced the outpouring of music that the birth of the Son of God does. And so whether people like it or not, there are going to be Christmas carols continuing to pour forth into the church for all the time that remains in the day of grace. And I'll bet you when we are all joining together in glory, people will still be putting songs together about that miraculous night and enjoying the great miracle that the word set before us.
This is, as I said, a hymn of recent vintage. Its author has gone on to be with the Lord. Its composer hasn't. I think he's still alive. Mm-hmm. Carl Schalk is still alive. Two men who, in their collaborations and their individual efforts here, Yaroslav Vajda and Carl Schalk, have really kind of made Lutheran hymnody in a lot of ways for the 20th and the 21st century. Talk about them.
Now, they're both two very, very great men. When we think about Vajda, this man labored first and foremost to bring his own heritage, which was Slovak, into English, so that the Slovaks have this little book. Oh, it's not little; it's a big book called the Tronosius, with all these fabulous hymns locked up in it. They tend to be rather short in form. But lots of stanzas, and they are simply characterized by joy, peace and joy. It just rings through these pieces. And we only have a few of them that are in our hymnal, but the ones we do, Vajda's hand has touched. He's the one that brought them to us. But aside from being a translator, and being a translator is a really hard job, right? to get the spirit of the original into a different language and to keep the meter intact, it's a challenge. He's also, though, a poet of no mean little ability. I mean, this guy can paint as he writes. And that is precisely what he's going to do in the hymn that's before us. He is going to paint a picture of the nativity with you in it. That's what he's going to set out to do, and let you join in the marvel, the wonder. The entirety of the hymn is focused on that. So this is a characteristic of Vida's hymns, is he just likes imagery. It appears he's the author of Now the Silence, which is nothing but a string of images piled up on top of each other, describing the divine service. And by the time you're done, you look at the hymn and you go, wow. Was there anything that he left out? It's just an amazing collection. He did a subsequent one then that also unpacked the joy of the feast to come. And we see him. He's very, very popular with the hymn, Go, My Children, with My Blessing. Again, very visual image there. And See This Wonder in the Making, another one that he wrote for baptism. So he's a very, very popular writer. On the other end of the story is Carl Schalk, who has an amazing ability to paint in music something that absolutely complements or actually lets you see even better the text. He does this repeat. He did that with Now the Silence. You see him here do it with Shepherds Lately, and I think it, in all honesty, either when Shepherds Lately or Before the Marvel of This Night, which again, both of these men collaborated on, those two, I think, are the pinnacles of either of their hymn writing ability. So joyful, so tender, so gentle, the way they approach it.
Now, that seems to be a characteristic of something I didn't notice until, you know, kind of midway through my pastoral ministry, is that the hymns of Christmas Eve are distinct in some ways from the hymns of Christmas Day.
Yes.
Christmas Day kind of explodes with the same way Easter explodes.
Yes.
But Christmas Eve is a little more contemplative, a little more, what shall we say, lack of a better word, devotional, slower, calmer, almost as if you would be singing them at the crib of a baby. You wouldn't be, you know, belting things out.
Yeah.
In the birthing ward.
The eve is for the lullabies. And they the peace and joy and the wonder and the awe that fill it fills all the hymns of the eve. I mean, from something like that's become very popular in America and Germany, a Stille Nacht, a silent night. It came upon a midnight clear, or you know, Lo, how a rose, or Away in a Manger. These are all hymns that are very soft and tender, just like the one that we're getting ready to listen to. On Easter, or at Easter rather, Christmas Day, it is an explode. You know, oh come all ye faithful, hark the herald. I mean, it's one explosion of praise after another, having seen this great light that shone in the darkness, and knowing that it is indeed the light that no darkness is ever going to be able to overcome, and that it will burst through death itself. The joy of Christmas Day.
What's the basic text or texts in this hymn?
Well, this text really is based entirely on Luke chapter 2, and because I just like to read it, I hope you'll pardon me if I do, and I have sure to read it out of the King James because everything else just pales. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Here is the first stanza of Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. Where shepherds lately knelt and kept the angel's word, I come in half belief a pilgrim, strangely stirred. But there is room and welcome there for me. But there is room and welcome there for me. James Corral of Chicago with the first stanza of the Christmas hymn, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. About a minute here to get started on that first stanza, Will, before we take our break.
Half belief. I absolutely love that line in there. I come in half belief, a pilgrim strangely stirred. It's such a beautiful phrase. Doesn't it call to mind, the father of the possessed child crying out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Or you think of the prophet Isaiah's tender prophecy about Christ, that a bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. So tender and so kind our Lord is toward all of our struggles of faith. Think of a pilgrim too, one who travels, one who heads from one place to another, headed towards one's true home, and finding here along the wayside the one who is literally the way back to that home.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're looking at the Christmas hymn, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt, on this Christmas Eve of Issues, etc. He's director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, a few more words on the first stanza. And at the end of the program, the first hour on this Christmas Eve, we'll play the entire hymn and get Pastor Wheaton's final thoughts. Stay tuned.
He Has Made Him Known, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The true God is not a God that will be found as a result of our God-seeking. He will only be revealed as He looks for and finds us. This is what was happening when Jesus was born.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the conversion of Paul. You can make an online tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
In the fullness of time, he came, bringing such joy to the world. As the church celebrates the joy of waiting fulfilled, consider registering at acelc.net for our next conference, Christ for us in the office of the Holy Ministry, February 25th through 27th in Cedar Falls, Iowa. In the fullness of time, he came and still comes for our joy in his word and sacraments. Have a blessed Christ Mass and visit us at acelc.net.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's Christmas Eve. We're studying the Christmas hymn, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt, with Pastor Will Whedon. We heard that first stanza before the break, and you were talking about this half-belief, this posture of the pilgrim that we assume in singing this hymn. There are a couple other things that I wanted to ask you about, and that is the angel's word. They kept the angel's word. What is the angel's word?
Remember, the angel said specifically to them, Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be to all the people. That's going to be real important in a minute. To all the people, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, to you. So to keep the angel's word is to kneel down before the manger, to look at him and to go, to me, for me. This is the one that God gave for me. And that's where the hymn actually sort of pushes us along. There is room. There is welcome there for me. This is the real astonishment. How do you know that there's welcome for you there? How do you know that he welcomes a half-believing person like you to kneel down there before him and to adore the mystery that's before your eyes? How do you know? Because the angel told you that this was a good news of a great joy for all people. And I can't ever hear that all and not think of some of the most famous words ever composed upon that theme, if you will. And I can't help but wonder if Ida had it in the back of his head, too. Pope St. Leo preached a Christmas homily. It's one of those ones that, you know, you just one sermon centuries ago, it continues to just keep on ringing out. You listen to these words and tell me whether or not he gets the hang of it. He says, you know, oh, dearly beloved brethren, to us is born this day a Savior. Let us rejoice. It is unlawful for you to be sad today. Today is life's birthday, the birthday of that life, which for us mortal creatures takes away the sting of death and brings the bright promise of an eternal hereafter. It's unlawful for any man to refuse to share in our rejoicing, because all people have an equal part in the great reason why we are joyful. For our Lord, who is the destroyer of sin and death, finding that everybody is bound under condemnation, came to make everybody free. So rejoice if you're a saint, for you're drawing nearer your crown. Rejoice if you're a sinner, your Savior offers you pardon. And if you're a pagan, rejoice, because God calls you to life. For when the fullness of time was come, the Son of God took to himself the nature of man, so that he might reconcile that nature to him who made it. Hence the devil, the inventor of death, is met and conquered in that very flesh which had been the field of his victory. Oh, let us give thanks to God the Father through his Son and the Holy Spirit, who for his great love is with which he loved us, has had mercy on us and made us alive together with Christ, even we who were dead in our sins, so that in him we might be a new creature and a new handiwork. Is that great or what? I mean, it's like no creature has a reason to be sad today, because when you kneel down beside that manger, that baby's for you. He is absolutely for you because he came for all. Good news of a great joy. You are welcome. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the awful things that you've done or the things that you haven't done. The news of this night is you've got a Savior.
The image here, and I just want your thoughts on this before we go on to stanza two, and that is the multitude of the heavenly hosts, which is, in the Old Testament, generally bad news. When the heavenly hosts show up, if they're not on your side, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. These are the armies of God. These are the same armies that defeat the enemies of God's people, the Egyptians, the Canaanites. This is God's army of angels. But they come in peace. They come saying, it's peace.
It's peace, yeah. They're coming with the proclamation of peace on the earth. Because he who is peace, as we're going to hear, the Prince of Peace, he is now on the earth. There is peace between God and man. He reconciles God and man together in his own flesh. You know what I really love about the old Tyndale translation? I mean, in many ways, it's a much more fun translation, even than the King James. Tyndale translated that, and suddenly there was a multitude of soldiers in the sky. Because we hear host and we don't immediately say soldiers. You should. These are God's armed forces. That are there in the sky proclaiming his praise and proclaiming peace to the earth.
Stanza two of the hymn Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. In that unlikely place I find him, as they said, sweet newborn babe, how frail, and in a manger bed, a still small voice to cry one day for me, a still small voice to cry one day for me. What do you find in this stanza, Pastor Whedon?
When God shows up in this world, he doesn't show up where human wisdom would expect to find him. You find him in, first of all, this little dinky town, Bethlehem. You find him in the house of bread. And you find him laid in a grain trough because he's come to be the bread of life for all the world. And hearing this stanza, you cannot help but think of St. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 1. The weakness of God is stronger than men. You want to see Almighty God displaying his almightiness? Look at the little baby lying in the manger, unable to feed himself, unable to do anything, only the recipient of his mother's love and care. He takes our frail flesh upon himself, and he does so that in that flesh he might one day cry for me. Think about that. The little one in Bethlehem's manger came to lift up his voice to intercede for you. Scripture reveals this astonishing fact that he's doing that even right now, right at the Father's right hand, the Father's side. He lives to intercede for you. He never ceases to pray for you, to cry out for you, to ask for you the entire benefit of everything his suffering and death won. This little voice cries out for you. Isn't that an amazing thought?
So this is Vida's way of getting us to the cross while we're still kneeling at the manger.
Yeah, he wants you to see that you cannot see the full wonder of the incarnation until you have looked at not merely the what of the incarnation and the who is incarnate, but why. In St. Athanasius' unbelievable words, you know, he takes a human nature to borrow death from us. he takes it so that he might take that death into himself and destroy it. He comes to pour out his blood so that your sins might be washed out in the presence of God, be covered over, not seen.
There's also that, I can't imagine that Vida wasn't thinking, still small voice, Elijah, God, revealing himself in the Old Testament to this, the kind of the paragon of the prophet.
Not in the big wind, and not in, I mean, all the impressive stuff, the fire. No. He shows up in the still small voice. And how still and small a voice? How about a baby crying? And that's the literal sound of God in this world. Wow.
When we come back, we're going to look at the third stanza of the Christmas hymn, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. How should I not have known Isaiah would be there? The prophecies fulfilled, with pounding heart I stare. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. That's the third stanza. We'll look at it with Pastor Will Whedon when we come back on this Christmas Eve. Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're walking through the Christmas hymn, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Oh.
the third stanza of the Christmas hymn where shepherds lately knelt. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. We're studying that hymn in this hour of Issues, etc. Now, this third stanza takes a little explanation. It is one of the most profound things, I think, that Vida ever wrote, because he's able to compact the Old and the New Testament together in four lines and get all the key words in there, a child, a son, prince of peace. But he starts with kind of the odd proposition that when I show up at the manger, there's the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah, it's absolutely one of the greatest lines. You know, how, and he's chiding himself, how would I not have known that he would have been there? Oh, my goodness. Because his prophecy is so vividly fulfilled. And I can't help, again, knowing that Vida was a great artist. Think of the visual arts. Isaiah's book literally begins with this this verse, you know, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, the Lord has spoken. I've nourished and brought up children. They rebelled against me." Then listen to this. "The ox knows its owner, the ass its master's crib, but Israel does not know, and my people do not consider." So in all the artwork of the nativity, you'll see the ox and the donkey lying beside the crib, recognizing their master, to whom Israel is blind. But who is that little baby there? He's the son of the virgin, Isaiah 7, you know, the one who is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. But where Vida's really got his eyes fixed, and where he invites us to fix our eyes, is the prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9. Listen. "For unto us, in other words, for me, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." And then it says, "Everlasting Father," I think the Greek there has, "the Father of the age to come," which I just absolutely love, the Prince of Peace. "Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So, you know, you can't hear this and not think of the lines from Messiah, which just bring it to life, you know, "For unto us a child is born." And this "unto us" is just the key. And that's what Vida grabs hold of. You know, Isaiah announces that this one who is to be born, he is a child, a son. He is the Prince of Peace for me. He is everything that Isaiah said that was for us. As old Jacobs, the Lutheran dogmatician, put it, he says it's the object, or it is the goal, it is the, rather the task of faith, to take the plural personal pronouns and make them be singular. So that you get Paul saying, you know, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So that "for me" is the talk of faith. And that's what Vida does here at the incarnation, to look at the child and say, he isn't truly the Son of God in our flesh, but in our flesh. So really my brother, really my God, and he did this for me, to give to me everything that is his. You know, the old statement in the church, I just dearly love it. He became what we are by nature so that we can become what he is by grace. He becomes a child of man to make us children of God.
This line with pounding heart,
I love it.
Is, I guess, you know, there was probably a time, Will, when I would have said, oh, that's kind of sentimental, a little sentimental stuff tossed in there. But I don't think that's what's intended here.
Now, if you get one iota, one inkling of what, of who is there in the manger in front of you, and you think this is the one who created everything, who sustains everything by his powerful word, who made me, who made everything that there is, this is the one who causes me to have breath. This is the one who gives me every day of life that I have. And this is the one who will finally call me out of this world to himself. This is that one. And here he is wrapped up as a baby. In this, I mean, God has diapers. You can change God's diapers. You have to. And he has to eat and nurse as we do. I mean, it is mind-boggling. With pounding heart, yes. with pounding heart, trembling knees.
That is an aspect of faith and worship. That is, sometimes we get the pounding heart, which is more kind of the drumbeat of passion that is popular in worship today, which has its place, by the way. It's rightful place, but this seems a little bit more kind of the fear that is faith of God.
Yeah, it is the shock and awe of what he did and who this baby is and why he would do this and that he does this for me. That's what really makes the heart pound. When you go, for me? Are you know what you're like. You know what you've done. You know how you think. And he looks at you and says, and I've loved you with the love everlasting and divine. And I have come into the flesh so that nothing will ever be able to separate you from me forever. And you're like, me? Are you crazy? You know, and he says, I love you. You know, it doesn't get straight. Well, I'm jumping ahead because, of course, that's where he's going to land in verse 4.
So before we get to 4, you said at the beginning that this hymn takes us and puts us into the nativity scene, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Really wants to take us by the word and promise back and have us there where shepherds lately knelt.
Yeah.
You know, in their knee prints in the stable, so to speak. That is something that I think people hope for on Christmas. They want to recapture that kind of felt like it really happened this time. But they try and do it through
imagination.
Imagination, that's what I was looking for.
And it doesn't work.
We can't imagine it.
No. And of course, Vida, being a good Lutheran, is not inviting you to imagine it. He's inviting you to get down on your knees and join Isaiah and the shepherds and to let the child of Mary truly come to you in the very body and blood which he assumed from his Holy Mother in order to give you forgiveness in life. In other words, at the altar, we don't have to imagine Bethlehem. At the altar, the child of Bethlehem literally comes to you to be for you.
Stanza 4 of Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. Can I, will I forget how love was born and burned its way into my heart, unasked, unforced, unearned, to die, to live, and not alone for me, to die and live and not alone for me. That's the fourth and final stanza of the Christmas hymn, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. Pastor Whedon, this one is, I think, the resurrection, isn't it?
Now, this has so much in it. We've been joying in Isaiah 9, and Vida then dumps us into 1 John 4. We can't lose this. You know, what is it that this one reveals to us then? This God who comes into our flesh. C.S. Lewis once said it was a... if you ask the why, the only answer is it's an unfathomable abyss of divine giving. You know, in other words, there is no answer to the why except for God's own words, well, because I love you. But why? Because I do. And so out of 1 John 4, we have this, he that loves not doesn't know God, because God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the wiping out
of our sins. So that's where he's taking us in this stanza. God is love, and love wrapped up in human flesh and blood. Now, you note at the resurrection, because it's a strange order, isn't it? He doesn't say to live and die. He says to die and live. And so he's got both, you know, he comes into the flesh to be the propitiation, but to be propitiation, remember, how did you know that the sacrifice had been accepted by the, you know, at the altar when the high priest offered it? Because he came out alive again, you know, on the other side of the curtain. He came back alive as proof that the sacrifice was pleasing to God. So our Lord's resurrection, the great proof that he was put to death for our trespasses, but he was raised for our justification. So he's got that wrapping it up in there, in that last verse.
Let's take a break right here, and when we come back, we'll talk a few more minutes about the fourth stanza, the final stanza of Where Shepherds Lately Knelt, and then we'll hear the entire hymn. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest, Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. On this Christmas Eve, we're studying the hymn Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Christmas hymn, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Pastor Wheaton, what can you tell us about this conference you've got coming up July the 28th through the 31st, being put on by the Institute on Liturgy Preaching and Church Music at Concordia University, Nebraska?
What I can tell you about is if you're not there, you need to be. Everybody needs to come to this thing. It's going to be, if you love worship, if you love the topic of liturgy, if you love hymnody, if you love singing praises to God, and if you're a pastor and want to think a little more deeply about the task of preaching, particularly how do you preach in such a way as to bring comfort to consciences that are troubled? How do you preach in such a way as to bind up the brokenhearted? That's going to be the focus of the conference. We really looking forward to it. Have a number of great guests, Dr. John Kleinick, Dr. Robin Lever, going to have Paul Solek, cantor at St. John's in Seward, and Betsy Werner, and a former member of the Commission on Worship for many years. And we're going to also have Brian Wolfmiller, who is, you know, just a great preacher of the gospel. He's going to be reflecting with us on this topic of comforting the troubled conscience.
And it's not just for pastors, for lay
people. Not just for pastors. If you love worship and you're just passionate about worship, join us. It's going to be fabulous.
Folks, you can find out more about the Institute on Liturgy Preaching and Church Music Conference, July the 28th through the 31st at Concordia University, Nebraska. Just look for the logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. A couple of final quick questions on stanza four. Can I, will I forget how love was born and burned its way into my heart unasked, unforced, unearned?
Isn't that
you
glorious?
You can tell you've got a Lutheran writing.
The, you know, all of a sudden we've been in 1 John, and now we're also in Ephesians 2, that this is all going to be by grace. It's a pure gift. It all comes as gift. Not even a gift you were looking for. Not even a gift you were expecting. And there it is, bestowed upon you, just because he loves you and for no other reason. And we can't lose the way it ends, you know, to die, to live, and not alone for me. He doesn't let you be, you know, I come to the garden alone. This is not the alone thing. It's for you and it's for everyone. And so Christmas is the original and great feast of evangelism, of announcing the good news. That's what the angels do. They tell the shepherds the good news of a great joy, which will be for all people. And so they, at the end of the story, of course, they're going back. And they're praising God, and they're telling abroad the news that they'd heard in Jesus. So, you know, don't let this feast end with you sitting at home by yourself tonight. If you can possibly get out and gather with your sisters and brothers in Christ, and let the word, the ancient words, ring in your ears one more time, and receive again the Blessed Sacrament, and then go forth into the world to proclaim that there is a Savior who welcomes us all.
That's really where Christmas. There are a lot of churches nowadays, Pastor Whedon, that are saying Christmas is for the family. These are Christian churches. They say Christmas is a family holiday. We're not going to make or even ask people to come out and celebrate at church. It's not on a Sunday. It's in the middle of the week. So go spend it with your families. You're saying it actually should be celebrated in the Christian family. About a minute here.
Yeah, oh, definitely. It calls for us to be together as the people of God, coming together, telling the shepherds, shoo, move over a little bit. I got to get down here beside you. You know, Isaiah, seeing him across the way from you there as he points to the child. It's a feast of the family of God together, not the feast of individuals alone.
Here is the entire Christmas hymn on this Christmas Eve, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt.
But there is no
The James Chorale of Chicago with the Christmas hymn, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt. Pastor Whedon, your final thoughts on this Christmas hymn?
Come. Come and join us at the manger. There's room and there's welcome. You are wanted. And I don't care what awful things you've done or that you failed to do. I don't care how many times you've fallen flat on your face after promising God this, that, or the other. You're wanted. He wants you. He loves you. He's yours as much as he is anyone's. He came into this world to be your Prince of Peace. He took on that human nature so that his blood could be shed to blot out your every sin. He died so that you could have a life with God that never ends. His life, clothed in his righteousness. He came to fill you with a joy that no sorrow of this age can ever take away from you. The joy of knowing yourself loved by God. Hey, I know it's hard to believe, and I find it hard to believe too, that he could do that for me. But you listen to me tonight. It's true. It is absolutely true for you and for me, for us all. Come, let us adore him.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Will, thank you very much, and a very Merry Christmas to you and your family.
To you too, and to all of the listeners.
Folks, if you appreciate our hymn studies, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. Now, you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Issues, etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues, etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. In the next hour on Issues, Etc., we're going to talk to ancient historian. He's not ancient himself. Well, he is a little ancient, but he's a historian of ancient history, Dr. Paul Meyer, about the first Christmas. That's coming up in the next hour of Issues, Etc. Well, on a Christmas Eve, what can you do? You could stay home and keep to yourself and see if you could find Jesus rolling around someplace in your heart. That's not where he is to be found. He's found where he's promised to be. That's why when the angels appeared there to those shepherds, they didn't say, hey, over there in Bethlehem, a baby has been born. Ask him into your heart and then go spend some time by yourself. No, they said, go and find him. Lay your eyes on him. And they did, and they worshiped him. And they realized that this good news of great joy really was for all people. And so they couldn't keep quiet about it. So on this Christmas Eve, go find Christ where he is promised to be found, in his word, at his table, in his body and blood. And that's the true celebration of his birth. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues, Etc. right after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as his baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.